From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR live session from afar. My guest today joins me from Austin. I'm thrilled that we have worked out all of our technical gremlins before starting today. It's Grace Pettis. Hello. Welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Eric. I'm sorry about all those tech gremlins, you know. They get you.
It is what it is in our current environment, isn't it?
It is.
You've got a wonderful new record out called Working Woman. For listeners who are unfamiliar with your name and your songs, I want to put two and two together because they might also know you from Nobody's Girl, which is a trio with Betty Sue and Rebecca Lobey that we've also been playing here on the station. How long have you been making music with that group, and how long have you been making music solo?
I've been at it solo for, you know, I think 11 years now.
Wow. Yeah.
Pretty much full time. I've had day jobs here and there, but they never lasted long because I would get some kind of a touring opportunity and I would quit, you know? So I was always surprised when people kept hiring me, which I guess is the white privilege thing. But, you know, like when I would apply for a job at Pier 1 or wherever, I was always just really, really? You want to hire me? Okay. Because like my resume would be like 3 months here, 4 months there, like spread out over years, you know?
Well, yeah. I mentioned this record, Working Woman. It's been written up as your debut, but it's not really, right? You've released music independently, yeah.
Yeah. It takes years to be an overnight success. I've made three records independently. I've put out two of them, but this is like the third actually released studio record. But it's a label debut. So it's the first time I've partnered with an actual record label and with a team and PR and all that stuff that like is hard to come up with the money for on your own unless you're like a trust fund kid. So, yeah.
So you spent time growing up between suburbs of Atlanta and a small place in Alabama I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Tell me about that place. What's it like?
Well, it's called Mentone, and it's on a mountain, Lookout Mountain, which is about 2,000 feet. So not much of a mountain by, like, you know, West Coast standards, by your standards.
Right.
But it's like more of a speed bump for you guys, I guess. But
I'm sitting at almost 2,000 feet here in our studio.
Right. That's just like nothing. Out there, you know, it's a mountain, and it's part of Appalachia, and it's like beautiful. And the closest big city is Chattanooga, but Fort Payne is the town in the valley where I went to high school, and that's where my grandparents lived and where I was kind of from, and that's in Alabama. Mentone is the town on the mountain, so it's a much smaller town. It's like a couple hundred people, and it's up on the mountain, and that's where my dad lives, so literally like a log cabin on a mountain in Alabama. So pretty legit country backstory as far as that goes. My mom, meanwhile, is a poetry scholar and professor, and she was teaching at Georgia State University in Atlanta for many years. So we also grew up simultaneously in Decatur, and that's where I spent most of my time until high school when I moved in with my dad. So before high school, I was like going to Alabama on the weekends and in the summers, and then I sort of reversed it in high school.
Wow.
So, but yeah.
Wow. So growing up, you've got a mom who is incredibly well-versed in wordplay and meter, and a dad who's a professional songwriter, touring musician. Was there any surprise that you became a musician? Did you have plans to do anything but?
You know, I never did. I always knew I was going to be a songwriter and a musician. And I would tell my parents, both of them, all through my childhood. Since I was like five, I was like, this is what I'm going to do for a living. And I think they didn't really believe me at five, you know what I mean? But like every year I just kept saying it. At some point they started to get kind of worried. So, because both of them just really wanted me to do anything else, me and my brothers. And, But I was kind of determined. So I went to college and I got a degree in something useful to kind of make them feel a little better about it. and then I just hit the road like right after I graduated, and I've been touring ever since. But I've never wanted to do anything else. Mm. And I was always really clear about what I wanted to do.
Wow. Well, it's good for us. I'm glad you're joining us for a live session today. Grace Pettis is my guest. The new album is called Working Woman. It's on Empress Records, spelled M-P-R-E-S-S. You can find information at her website, GracePettis.com. I'd love to hear a tune. What do you want to play first for us? And what can you tell us about the tune? And then I'm guessing it's going to be acoustic guitar?
Yeah, just acoustic guitar and singing, you know.
Right.
Why don't we start with a country song called Oklahoma that I wrote for my friend Rachel Reese. This is called
Fantastic.
Oklahoma.
It's Grace Pettis on JPR Live Sessions.
Designer jeans, sunglasses, your Oklahoma breeze in them. Got your makeup on, what passes for a never known trouble grin.
Thank you for playing and for singing. It's a joy to hear.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks for having me.
You mentioned before the tune your father, Pierce Pettis, mm-hmm. whose music is mm-hmm. also in our music library here at JPR. So you had this role model growing up of not only how to be a touring musician, but how to be a professional songwriter. You had parents that, I don't know if they encouraged you not to do it, but certainly hoped that maybe you would become something else. And yet you did it anyway. What was it about music that so compels you that you just follow that path anyway?
You know, like my dad, I don't think he thought he was being a role model. I think he thought he was being a cautionary tale. And because it's a hard life, and it's especially hard if you're a girl, it's like, but it's hard for anyone. It's hard even for white dudes. Like, it's just a hard job. And he had some success, but he had some success in the sense of like somebody, liquidates all of their assets and goes to Vegas for the weekend and then just happens to win. Like, that's what it's like being successful in the music industry. It's just the odds are astronomically stacked against you, and it's not based on talent or hard work necessarily, sometimes, but not always. There's definitely a lot of people that, you know, struggle to just carve out any kind of a living who are enormously talented and hardworking. So it's not what he wanted for me or my brothers. I think he, and especially maybe me, because I was a girl, he wanted something safe for me, you know, so like a home life that was stable, which is not a thing that he's really had. And, you know, the ability to pay taxes and have dental care and like be able to feed a dog regularly, you know, I think he just wanted all those things for me. And my mom wanted those things for me too. I like to say it's almost like a compulsion or something. It's like, I just, every time that I've had any other kind of job, I was just writing songs on the backs of like receipt paper or just, you know, on my phone or singing my phone in the bathroom. Like, I just can't not do it. And I do it kind of constantly and all the time. So that's part of it. So for me, it has always just been about trying to find a way to do music as much as possible. And playing music full time is like the easiest way to do that. And specifically to play my music as much as possible. Another piece of it is that since I was a little kid, it's been kind of like a native language is how I describe it. Like, it's my primary, it's like my primary way of like expressing myself in the world and making sense of things. For me, it was just about trying to find a way to turn it into a job so that I could do it as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, have you gotten to a point where you can feed a dog regularly?
Yeah. You know, I mean, somebody else has to take care of it the majority of the time, but yeah.
Well, I want to talk more in depth about this new record and specifically the approach you took to make this album, both in terms of players and the people whose hands we hear on the final product. I also want to talk about a somewhat unusual hobby that you have and work on as a side project that we'll get to after another tune. Grace Pettis is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. You heard the giggle. Working Woman is the name of the new record out on Empress Records. GracePettis.com is the web address. What do you want to play for us next?
How about a song called Never Get It Back? All right. Which is one of the singles from the record. And I always just like to say, you know, I wrote this with my friends Nicole Dean and Hayne Scott. And it's just sort of about seizing the moment. And if you're breathing, you know, it's your moment. So that's really what the song's about.
Cool. This is Grace Pettis on JPR Live Sessions.
See if it fits. This moment right now is all that there is.
Never Get It Back is the name of that one. Grace Pettis is playing for us today on JPR Live Sessions. It's a song from the new record called Working Woman. You can find information on her website, gracepettis.com. Pettis with two T's, by the way. So this record came out in early May, the first label record. You've talked about it being more of a rock record than anything that you had done prior, and that you knew that you were going to be heading in that direction. Why rock? Why did you want to land in that place?
Man, I was just, I was really mad.
Fair enough.
I had a lot of anger, you know, that I had to exercise. And like, you just need some electric guitar sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
sometimes like folk just won't cut it for certain things.
Earlier you mentioned the term white dudes. And I know that white dudes, in a way, led to the direction you took in crafting this record. Try and frame that for us. Like, what did you do specifically when you created this record and why?
Yeah, we were intentional about, my producer Mary Bragg and I were intentional about hiring only women for this record.
So no white dudes.
Women with no white dudes, no dudes of any kind. It's women with an X, so we're inclusive, but nobody that doesn't understand what it means to experience being a female in America touched this record. So
cool.
every co-writer, every player on it, guitar, drums, bass, keys, special guests, engineers, producer, graphic design, mixing, mastering, artwork. I mean, every single creative person that had a hand in it was a woman.
Was that challenging for you to identify all of those people, or did it come pretty easily?
They weren't hard to find, and they were actually surprisingly available, partially because of COVID. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of times we are like a smaller percentage of whatever industry it is. Like, there are just in general a lot less women, you know, engineers, for example. But I think in other industries, like, I don't know, drummers, you know, I think there actually are a lot of women out there that play the drums. I just think that they don't ever get hired for garage bands or to play at their churches or to be a studio session player. Like, the gig always goes to somebody else. So they either have to find sort of their own creative self-engineered avenues for doing that, or they just do it in their rooms and nobody knows about it. It's not a lack of like talent, but there is a lack of opportunity. And I think the best musicians are the product of many, many years of talent, hard work, and opportunity. You know, those are the things that allow you to become, because if you have to work a day job all the time, you have less time to practice. And if you're not invited into these bands, then you're not learning from these other players. And if you don't get that job at the studio as an engineer, you know, as a staff sound engineer, if you're just engineering in your home, you're going to learn the craft really differently. And you're it might take you longer. And you might come out on the other end marketable in a really different way.
Do you feel like you got a final product out of this project that wouldn't exist if not for your intent to work at the project the way you did?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's, I just hired a really great rock band in Nashville, you know, and they all, they happen to be women. There are, you know, when you think about like who is the best bass player in Nashville, right? Like there's not really an answer to that question because there's probably 100 people that are all on the same level in terms of skill and experience and impressive resumes, but they just kind of bring something different to the table. Like they're all the right player for the, for a different record.
Yeah.
You know, and so Mary just knew the right people for this record, and it really came out of Mary Bragg's Rolodex.
Do you think that this is going to be your new normal? Like, do you think that this is
going to
be your...
recording exclusively with women?
Yeah.
I don't think so necessarily. I'm not like, I mean, I would love to make another record with exactly the same team because I just had so much fun doing it and everybody was amazing to work with. I loved working with Mary. I loved working with everybody on this record, truly. But I also, I never want to like limit myself by saying I'm going to always do the same thing the same way every time. Yeah, I think I just, I don't know what the next record is going to ask for. So I'll let it tell me, you know, what it needs. But I do think it's important to intentionally hire a diverse cast of like players and crew and just people in your life. I don't know. I think just like at whatever level any of us is on, you know, whether it's, you know, working in public radio or being an obscure folk singer or being like somebody playing stadiums, we all have a platform that we can use to, you know, hear more voices and bring more people into the conversation.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're working at making you less of an obscure folk singer.
Thanks.
As much as we can. You know, you don't write very many love songs. There is a love song on this record that I have completely fallen in love with, and it's a different kind of love song. I was kind of hoping you would play it for us and tell the story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a song called Landon, and I wrote it for my best friend in high school who's gay. We were two Alabama kids and he was gay, and you can kind of like tell the rest of the story yourself. Like you don't even need me to like fill in the blanks, but unfortunately, but yeah, basically he came out and a lot of people that loved him, that he loved, couldn't accept like the reality of who he was, including me. And we were best friends since we were 15. So I tried to be like loving or whatever the way they teach you. But I, you know, he offered, courageously offered like the truth of who he was, and I was not willing to listen at the time and had a lot of preconceived notions about what it all meant and kind of responded accordingly. And as I was like saying this stuff, it felt like it didn't ring true, like as it was coming out of my mouth. But it took me years to unpack why. And I was and am like a devout Christian, and so I had a lot of figuring out to do and a lot of soul searching and a lot of prayer and a lot of, you know, figuring out why I felt so bad about it, and why my conscience was really just kind of tugging at my sleeve for years about it. And I eventually realized just what I had done, you know, in rejecting him. And it's a really vulnerable place to be queer and from a small town in the South, because you grow up with people that have known you your whole life, and yet you feel completely alone. And so when you put yourself out there like that and you tell people like, this is who I am, you know, it's really, really important that those few people that get that phone call say, I see you, I love you, you're wonderful exactly the way you are. And I'm here for you. I mean, it's not complicated. You don't have to think too hard theologically about it. You just have to like love somebody and not be an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's more than a lot of us have been able to do. We haven't been able to find that courage to love in that way. So I really hope that the song will help kind of the next generation. Leanne and I talk about this all the time, and we've definitely like reconnected because of this song. And we're like very close again, in a lot of ways, directly because of the song. It wasn't necessarily ever supposed to be played in public. It was just for him. It was an apology that I wrote for him. Music is just the way that I express myself. So there's things I can't say in an email, but I can write them in a song. Everybody has a Landon. Everybody has a friend or a family member or somebody in their life that they didn't treat the way they should have, because they were different. And, we were really, really lucky the Indigo Girls agreed to sing on it, cool. Which is pretty dang cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what a perfect way to wrap up our session today. I'd love to hear it. This is Grace Pettis on JPR Live Sessions.
From the day we met, I was never the same. You were the mascot at the football game. Big brown eyes in a wildcat suit. Hugging your knees outside the classroom. Favorite child of a single mother. Loved you more than a boyfriend, more than a brother. Drove yourself to church every Sunday. We swore we'd make it out of this town one day. So much.
What a great tune. Grace Pettis is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. That one's called Landon. You can find it on the new record called Working Woman. Information is at gracepettis.com. Now, before you go, I know that over the course of the pandemic, many musicians took up podcasting as a hobby, a side project, but none of them have taken up a podcast the likes of yours. What is it called? What in the world are you doing here, and who are you roping in to make episodes with you?
Well, it's called Troubadours on Trek, and it's musicians, mostly my friends, that have been coerced into doing it.
Now, are they still watching... your friends after doing episodes?
Most of them, yeah. No. But I get them to watch an episode of Star Trek, and we're working through the original series right now, like the one in the 60s. And then we talk about Star Trek together. And then, you know, the way that I rope them in is I'm like, and we'll also pitch whatever you want to like promote. Like if you got a new record or something, we'll talk about it. But I the goal is kind of, you know, part one is secretly trick my friends into watching Star Trek. That's the main goal. But goal two is to introduce, you know, any listeners to my friends' music, because I have really talented friends. So it's a twofold goal. But then at the end of the episode, we pick a song that like pairs well with whatever we watched, one of their songs, and then just like any other song, and we put them all in a Spotify playlist.
Okay.
So do you have like there's like a bunch of songs now,
like Trouble with Tribbles songs?
Yeah, but we haven't gotten to that one yet. But yeah, we just wrapped up episode 12. It hasn't aired yet though.
It's fantastic.
And every episode, really, it's not about phasers and monsters, and it's about people. It's really about people. It's about philosophy. It's about what does it mean to be a human being. Yeah. And so once you kind of get past sort of the technicolor trappings of it, I think you can have some really great conversations, and it's a lot of fun. And I think actually a lot of my friends have now been converted, and you know, they're not devout Trekkies like me, but they have watched it, you know. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Right on. It's called Troubadours on Trek, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's on all the like major podcast platforms.
It's on all the major podcast platforms. It's very niche, but I do think Star Trek is for everybody. I hope everybody gives it a try.
Right on. I have so enjoyed our conversation today, Grace. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll have audio up on our website later today at ijpr.org. That new album is called Working Woman. Information is at gracepettis.com.